Well, good morning. Good morning, adults and young adults. Thank you for joining us for our last Sunday school for 2015. Wow, the month of December is here. And we appreciate your attendance this morning. So why don't we come on in and take a seat? Matt's handing out some outline handouts this morning. And never fear, I will tell you what the blanks are as we go through. Of course, the answers are at the back. So at the bottom, if you do miss a blank, that way you won't be wondering what they are for the rest of the morning. So we want to make it easy on you this morning in this last Sunday school. Thank you for being faithful. I hope you've enjoyed our series on the book of 1 Peter. We finished that series and we are now just completing some studies on the parables of Christ, which we've been looking at on Wednesday nights. So we're going to look at this morning the parable of the lost son. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the parable of the lost sheep, then the lost coin, and now we are looking at the lost son. So please open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter number 15. And let's read verses 11 to 24 to begin with. Luke chapter 15, 11 to 24. Notice with me in verse 11, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' But he arose, and and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of gathering together, Lord, to worship you, to rejoice in your salvation, and Lord, to learn more about your wonderful love. Lord, we thank you for the Sunday school classes, Lord, this year. We thank you for the children and the teenagers meeting at this time. Lord, we pray that you'd bless each one of the classes. Be with the teachers this morning, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. And may your word go forth with power. And we pray that your word would be sown into the hearts of our young people so that they may be saved. And Lord, that they may live for you. And help us as adults, Lord, to challenged and encouraged this morning through your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these wonderful words, Lord, that you have spoken to declare your love to all who are lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you remember as we began chapter number 15, the Pharisees and the scribes were looking for an accusation against the Lord. They didn't like him. They didn't like what he was saying. And so they murmured against him when they saw him reaching out to sinners and publicans who were tax collectors. These were the despised of the society. These were those who were looked down upon as filthy and wretched and disgusting in the eyes of those who were religious, and yet it was these very ones that the Lord was reaching out to. Verse 2 in chapter 15, the Pharisee said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And as we remembered last week, this was one of the, and perhaps the only compliment the Pharisees ever gave the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this was the greatest compliment, that he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And thank the Lord, he receives sinners. Amen. Because if it wasn't for that wonderful truth, you and I would still be lost today. Thank the Lord that he receives sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew the Pharisees didn't understand. They didn't understand the depth of the love of God. So that's why he went on to teach three wonderful parables about God's love for the lost. We looked at the lost sheep. Then we looked at the lost coin. And this morning we are looking at the lost son. Now all of these parables could be grouped into one because the one main truth is the same in all of them, isn't it? The one main truth is that every lost soul is precious to God. Every single lost soul. And guess what? That includes you. Amen. And that includes me. Every lost soul. One interesting little highlight before we go on that we noted is that in the parable of the lost sheep, we see the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And there in the parable of the lost coin, we see the candle of truth, the searching, seeking work of the Holy Spirit of God, lighting up the dark room in search of the precious item that was lost. And then this morning we see the Father, God the Father, his compassionate love for his Son, he which is lost, the one which is lost. And this is what the Pharisees could not possibly understand. They could not comprehend and work out that, yes, God is a thrice holy God, but he is also a three times loving God. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. The Bible says that God is love. And these parables are so wonderful because they describe to us in very real and wonderful ways how greatly the Lord loves the lost and seeks after them. Now, in the parable of the lost son, many times these verses are used to apply to the backsliding Christian. But remember, as we have looked at these parables, the subject is something which is lost. It does not apply in its context to the Christian who has wandered away from God. This describes the lost son. The son who has rebelled and is not found but is lost in his sins, is lost from God. These are lost things that the Lord is dealing with because remember, the Lord Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And the Pharisees didn't understand. That's why the Lord receiveth sinners. And that's why he gave these parables. Of course, we can learn some lessons if you and I as Christians have distanced ourselves from God. But specifically, this parable is speaking about the lost. God's love for the lost. Well, notice first of all in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, the lost son. We see the lost son. Your first blank is the word son. Look with me in verse 11. "And he said, a certain man had two sons." And here we see a father with two sons, and the younger son, what does he ask for? He asked the father for his portion of the inheritance. So the father had worked, the father had earned, the sons had grown up, and one of the sons said to his father, "I want my portion of my inheritance from your will, and I want it now. I want it now." Now, according to Deuteronomy chapter number 21, the son was entitled to one third of his father's estate. And in fact, the father was allowed to grant that inheritance before he died. But nevertheless, can you see this morning that the son's request was a hurtful one? The son's request was a cruel one because he was asking for his inheritance before his father passed away. In other words, he was saying to his father this. He was saying, I don't want you in my life anymore. I want what is mine, and I want it now, and I don't want you to tell me what to do, and I just want to go my own way. I don't want you in my life anymore. That's what he was saying to his father. Notice what the boy said there in Luke chapter 15. In verse 12, he said, Father, give... What did he say? Me. Give me what falleth to me. Can you see that in the verse? Who was the son thinking of? Himself. He wasn't thinking of the father. His love was not towards the father. His love was towards himself. He wanted to go his own way. He just wanted what falleth to me. And the younger son simply, you can see his attitude this morning. The younger son wanted what the father could give him, but he did not want the father. Can you see that this morning? He did not want a relationship with his father. He wanted what fell to him, his inheritance. And here in the description of the lost son, don't we see a vivid description of the lost sinner this morning? You see, the lost soul takes no thought of God, the Bible says. And the attitude towards God is give me. I want all the pleasures of life. Isn't that true? In our lost, sinful condition, we don't care about God. We just want the pleasures of life. You know, when God made man in the Garden of Eden, God gave mankind everything that he needed. They had everything that they needed, Adam and Eve. They had a garden of plenty. They had everything that could satisfy. They had every pleasure that they could know. They had a close relationship with God. But don't forget, when they fell in the Garden of Eden, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, it was just like this son who said to the father, I don't want you anymore. That's what Adam said to God by his actions. We don't want you anymore. In the act of rebellion of sin, we don't want you in our lives. The Bible says for mankind this morning, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, each one of us this morning are sinners. We are all lost in our sins. We are born with a sin nature, and then we commit acts of sin, and we are lost and separated from God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we look at mankind's sinful condition today, it's very obvious that man wants what God can give him, but man does not want God. You know, we want his air. Amen? We want the life he gave us. We want food from this world. We want the pleasures of this life. We want to experience the lusts of this world. And even if we get a little bit religious, gets a little bit religious, they may want to go to heaven, but they don't want God to be there. You see, this son pictures the lost, the condition of the lost. And as he rebelled, he took his inheritance and he went his own way. But can you see the graciousness of the Father in verse 12? What does the Bible say in verse 12? And he divided unto them his living. You see, the Father could have said no to the son, couldn't he? But he gave the son what he wanted, what he asked for. And that's a glimpse of God's graciousness. Let's continue on. Notice Roman numeral number 2. We see the lost son. Notice secondly, the lost in sin. The lost in sin. Your next blank is the word sin. Verse 13 says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When the son got what he wanted, what happened? Well, there was no holding back. He went into the world and he started to enjoy the pleasures of
sin. The Bible says very quickly he spent everything that his father gave him. The whole of his inheritance that the father had given him, he spent all of it, on what? The Bible says riotous living. What does that mean? Well, that describes immoral living. That describes perverse living, sexual immorality. You see, when the son left his father's house, the gates of sin broke wide open. And the son indulged himself in all sorts of perverse and wicked and immoral acts. The question is, did he have a good time? What do you think the answer is? Do you think the son had a good time? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us that there is no pleasure in sin. In fact, the Bible says, remember, there is pleasure in sin for a season. That's right. And the son did enjoy himself. He indulged himself in righteous living, and for a season he thought to himself, wow, I'm glad I made this decision. I'm glad I broke loose of my father, and now I can live as I please and do as I want and enjoy the pleasures of sin that I have been lusting after for so long. But you see, the son soon realized that life did not turn out the way he had planned. You see, the Bible says the pleasures of sin last only for a season, for a short time. Now, if we want to talk about fishing and the devil's lure, sin is the bait on the devil's hook. It's just a means that temptation is just a means to get you hooked onto sin, and once you are, you're in big trouble. The pleasures of sin only last for a season. And as we see this lost son spiraling down into destruction, we see the reality of the destruction of sin. Verse 14, notice there next, what happens? Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Notice what happened. He got what he wanted, but suddenly he realized what he wanted all this time did not turn out as he planned. You see, when the money was spent, the music stopped. The partying stopped. He had no money left. And guess what? When the money was spent, his friends disappeared. His so-called 1,000 Facebook friends disappeared off the scene because he had no money anymore. They weren't friends. They were just contacts. They were just people that hung around because they wanted to get something from him. But because, you see, when his money was spent, there was a famine in the land and he found himself in want. Where was his friends to help him out? Where was his friends to invite him over and give him a meal? They were gone. You see, everything was gone. His home was gone. His hope was gone. He was helpless and alone and in a far country away from home. You see, sin had taken everything away from the son. Is that not true? Sin had taken everything away from him. Now, someone has rightly said this, and I'm sure you've heard it before, it's in your notes, a wonderful quote to remember. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ described in this parable of the son. You see, he departed from the father. He rejected the father, and then he realized soon enough the real penalty of sin. You see, sin indulges with pleasure for a season, but the payment of sin is much greater than we ever want to pay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. Now, we might think the son's situation is pretty bad. You know, he has nothing. No friends, no family, no home. But the reality is, sin is not as easygoing on man as that. Once we indulge in sin, once we go down that spiraling path and wander away in sin, sin gets a hold and grows even worse. Notice verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, as a Jewish boy, understand this, this is in the Jewish context. As a Jewish boy, this was the greatest shame. Not only to be working with pigs, but to be so hungry and so starved and to so in want that he would desire to eat what the pigs were eating. You see, that's how sin treated this young boy. That's what happens to the lost in sin. You see, we might think we can indulge in sin for a season, but sin takes us to the bottom of the barrel. Here we find the lost son at rock bottom, don't we? With nothing. In the darkness. No one cared about him. He wasn't even given any food. He was destitute. He was hungry. And he wanted to eat the pig's swill to stay alive. There was no home. There was no hope. And here the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a picture of the lost in their sin. The lost in their sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Revelation 20 verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, sin separates from God. Sin separates eternally. And in the picture of the Son in this parable, it's very clear that no one ever wanders into sin and comes back happy. Never. That is the truth found in this parable. That is the truth of God. Sin destroys. Sin takes away everything good in life. Sin separates from the Father. And sin has not changed since the first sin was committed. The ravaging destruction of sin. Can you see the picture here? If you're a Christian here this morning, maybe some of you can remember what it was like to be lost. What it was like to live in darkness. What it was like to feel ashamed. What it was like to bear the scars of sin. What it was like to be hopeless and helpless and homeless and have no hope of eternity. That's where this son was. He was away in a strange land, in despair. What a tragedy. What a picture of the destruction of sin. But you see, the wonderful truth is this. God seeks the lost. You see, the Lord Jesus needed to create a picture of the depravity and the wickedness of this son who represents all lost mankind. He had to picture the disgusting and ravaging effects of sin. Why? So that he could show the greatness of his love. Notice there in Roman numeral number 3, let's move on. Notice the Bible shows us that the light turns on. Amen? The light turns on. The next blank is the word on. Notice verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Notice, suddenly, out of the blue, the foolish son woke up to himself. And he realized something. In his darkness, in his hopelessness, in his path of self-destruction, he remembered that there was one who did love him. He remembered there is one who did love him, who he had rebelled against, and that was his wonderful, loving father. He remembered, in fact, his father was so good to those in his household, even his hired servants lived like kings. Even his hired servants enjoyed the plenty of the father's household. You see, when the light turned on for this son, he realized what he had forgotten all along. You see, sin blinds. That's what it does. We might indulge in it for a season, but when we do, we forget not only the destruction of sin and where it will take us to rock bottom and desperate hopelessness, but we forget how great the Father's love truly is. You see, the light came on. We might even say, based upon the parable of the lost coin, the Holy Spirit was working in this son's heart, convicting him, showing him his need to come back to the Father. Notice verse 17. He says, I perish with hunger. I perish with hunger. You know, the son finally realized where sin had taken him. He finally realized he was wrong. Can you see that this morning? I perished with hunger. He said, it's my fault. I've done this to myself. It's not my father's fault. And let me say, it's not God's fault we've sinned. It's our fault. We have sinned against God. We have rebelled against God. And that's what the son realized. He realized that he was guilty. He realized he deserved what had happened to him. And my friends, this is the first step to take for anyone who will ever be saved. The realization, the light turning on that I am the guilty sinner before a loving God. I am the one who is lost. I am the one who has rebelled against God. You see, the light turned on for this son. God was working in his heart. He realized he was the sinner in need of the Father. Notice verse 18. What was his decision? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now notice very carefully the change in this son's heart. Do you remember what happened when he departed? Remember what he said to his father. He said, Give me what falleth to me. Can you see the change that's taken in place in this son's heart? He goes back to the father and he said, and he wants to say to his father, Father, I don't deserve anything. What a change. Father, I don't deserve anything. In fact, I don't deserve to be called thy son. Make me one of thy servants. I just want to serve you. Can you see that in the Bible this morning? I want to serve you as one of your servants. Make me who you want me to be. Lead me, guide me, be my master. I want to be your servant. You see, the son didn't want a life of sin anymore. He wanted to go back home. Amen. He wanted to go back home. He realized where sin had taken him, and he realized that he was on the brink of death. He had no food. He was about to perish, and he realized what he needed was to go home. What he needed was the Father. And there was a change that took place in his heart, a change to admit that I do not deserve anything. I am not worthy to be called thy son. And what was he trusting in? He was trusting in not his inheritance, in his right to be back home. No, he was trusting in the mercies of his loving Father. That's what he was trusting in. And my friends, here we see in this third point a wonderful picture of true biblical repentance. Amen? Biblical repentance. The son repented of his sins and came back to the Father. And this is where every single lost sinner has to get before they can get saved. Every single sinner. Notice with me in chapter 15 and verse 10. What does the Bible say? Likewise I say unto you, the Lord Jesus said, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You see, in God's work to bring the lost back to himself, he's doing a work in everyone's heart to bring them to a point of repentance. Is repentance necessary for salvation? Well, the Bible says very clearly that it is. And in the son's response to his sinful condition, to his rebellion against his father, he recognizes that it is he that is guilty. It is he that is unworthy. It is he that needs to come back to the Father. Now let me say this. We don't need to go to the bottom of the barrel as dramatically as this son did to realize we need to be saved. Don't misunderstand what we are looking at this morning. The son here was about to perish. He was about to die. But as fallen creatures before the Lord, we don't need to hit rock bottom in order to realize we are sinners. But in order to be saved, we do need to repent. We do need to realize that we are sinners against a holy God. Our sins are not acts of guilt against ourselves. No, our sins are acts of rebellion against our loving God, against our heavenly Father. And this son was broken over his sin. He didn't want it anymore. You see, if he wanted his sin, he would have continued in his riotous living. He would have perished there in that pig pen if that's what he wanted. But he decided, no, I don't want this anymore. I want everything but this. I want to go back home. You see, he turned from his sins very clearly, very wonderfully. He wanted to go home to the Father. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. Let me ask you this morning, was there a time in your life that you remember you came back to the Father? Was there a time that you were saved? Did you have an experience such as this? Was there a time that you saw yourself as a guilty, condemned sinner in the sight of God, and you realized you were headed to a place called hellfire, and you realized that your sins were against God and that you needed to be saved? But yet, was there a time in your life where you turned from your wicked ways? Was there a time in your life where you didn't want this life of sin anymore? And you wanted the Lord, not just going to heaven, that is the byproduct of salvation, but you wanted the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? You see, this son, he wanted the Father. He wanted to come back to the loving arms of his Father. He knew the blessings that would come from being reunited. But you see, it was the Father that he wanted. He wanted a relationship with the Father. My friends, can you see here this morning that salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven? Salvation is more than just a sinner's prayer. Salvation includes a repentant heart. A repentant heart. A broken heart. A realization of the guilt of sin and the need for the mercies of the Father. Here we see the light turns on in the son's heart. Lastly, notice the love of the Father. Now, all this that the Lord Jesus taught was a build-up to this wonderful point. Notice the love of the Father. Your last blank is the word Father. Verse number 20, in the second half of the verse it said, notice this very carefully. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. My friends, here the Lord Jesus Christ wonderfully reveals the loving compassion of God. Look with me in the verse again. Who is the one that is doing the running? We might think it's the son running home excitedly and eagerly to the father. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the son is broken, he is helpless, he is hopeless, he is guilty, and he desires to come back to the Father, and yet it is the Father that is running to the son. It is the Father that has been longing for his son to come home. It is the Father whose love has never changed for his son. It is the Father who has compassion in his heart towards his lost son. It is his Father that saw him yet a great way off. Can you see that his father was filled with love for his son? He saw him a great way off. That means he was looking for him. He was searching for him. Every day he was praying that his son would come back in repentance and come back home to the father. The father ran. The father embraced him. The father kissed him. And here we have perhaps the most wonderful picture of the merciful, loving, compassionate grace of God. You see, the son was filthy. Can you imagine how he looked after those years of sin, after wallowing in the pig pen, after all that time of famine and destitution? Can you imagine how he looked and how he smelt? And what did the father do? Well, he wrapped his arms around him and he loved him back to himself. That's what the father did, because that's how great the love of God is. And when the Pharisees mocked the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, this man receiveth sinners, the Lord Jesus cried out and said, more than you know. I love sinners more than you know. What a wonderful Lord. Notice they said, this man eateth with sinners. And again in this parable, the Lord said, more than you can imagine. More than you can imagine. This man eateth with sinners. Notice in the parable what happens next. Verse 21, here we see the son's repentant heart. Notice he said, and the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. See, he realized his sins were against God. And I'm no worthy to be called thy son. He realized he wasn't worthy to come home. He deserved nothing but what he had received. But notice verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. The best robe, not just any robe, the best robe. We don't have time to look into these verses, but I believe this robe describes the robe and garment of righteousness. You see, the father's robe covered the filthiness of the son's sins. And the father gave the son his best robe, the robe that covered his guilt, the robe that covered his shame. And what a wonderful fact that when everyone who receives Christ as their Savior repents and receives him, we are covered in the robe of Christ's righteousness. Our sins are covered. Our sins are washed away by the shed blood of Christ. Notice, and he put a ring on his hand. My friends, that's the ring of royalty. You see, the son realized he deserved nothing, but the father was willing to give him everything. He put a ring on his finger to show that he was not a servant. He was not someone who he would treat as a lowly servant. He was someone that the father received back to himself as a son. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. Notice he put shoes on his feet. Now only servants walked barefoot around the father's house, but the son was given shoes to declare that he was receiving him back to himself. As one who had authority to be with the Father, to stand with the Father, to serve the Father, and to represent the Father. Notice verse 23. The Father said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The Pharisees mocked the Lord for eating with sinners, but little did they know of the banquet feast that awaited every lost sinner. Here we have a picture of salvation. Here we have a picture of God's love. It wasn't just any calf. It was the fattest calf. It was the best banquet. And here we do not see the son rejoicing. Here we see the father's house rejoicing. Here we see the angels in heaven before the rejoicing. But we do know, as we look at these parables, that it is God who receives sinners, and it is God who is the one who is rejoicing. It is the Lord who is rejoicing. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, the lost son. I wish we had more time to look in detail at these wonderful verses. But can you see the picture of the love of God this morning? To take us from our own willful rebellion and rejection of God, to take us from the filth and depravity and wickedness of our own sins, where even the good things we think we do are unrighteousness in God's eyes, and to know that if we come in repentance to Him, and if we come falling upon the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Father will wrap His loving arms around us forever and receive us back to Himself in love. What a picture of God's love for the lost. As we end, where are you this morning? Where are you? Are you like this lost son in a far country? Remember, the father was seeking his son from a way off. You might be here this morning. You might be like this son, lost in a far country, going your own way, seeking the sinful pleasures of this world. My friend, the Lord is seeking you. The Father is seeking you to come back to Him, to be saved. Do you need to come home this morning? Has there been a time in your life when you repented of your sins? See, it's one thing to pray a prayer and say, Lord, take me to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But my friends, that's not salvation. Christ died to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. What we need is Christ, not a ticket to heaven. What we need is Jesus Christ to save us. What we want is Jesus Christ in our lives as Lord and as God. You see, when the Son returned to His Father, His life was completely different. He was back at home. His heart had changed. And He was now a heir of His Father, which pictures the saved one and his God. Are you saved this morning? If you're not sure, let me encourage you, the Father seeketh such as should be saved. And if you are saved, let me encourage you not to forget about the wonderful love of God. Amen. The wonderful love of God. By the way, the Bible uses the word Mary. Fortunately, the world has rocked the true meaning of this word, but the Bible uses it. And as Christians, we ought to be merry. Amen. We ought to be the happiest people on this side of eternity because of the love of God towards a sinner, lost, headed to destruction. Thank God for His love. Let me encourage you to get to know the love of God more. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to look at the next part of the parable, which describes the lost son who never left home. The lost son who never left home. Let me encourage you to come back. But don't forget about the love of God. Next time you question God's love, don't forget what we've learnt this morning of His loving compassion.